There is certainly no Kylian Mbappe or Lionel Messi in this NFL draft, but those two men will square off in the World Cup final on Sunday. Eric Winalda, a three-time member of the United States World Cup team, one of only three people, along with a former NC State Wolfpack member, Tab Ramos, to play on three World Cup teams. He joins us, Sirius XM Counterattack, a staple on my ride home every day. I appreciate your time, Mr. Winalda. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I apologize for being a little late to you today.
It's quite all right.
As you can imagine, the World Cup makes everybody crazy, so we're still living it.
We're into extra time right here. Let's start with what we're going to see, what we think we're going to see on Sunday. In some ways, it's a changing of the guard. Would a win? I don't want to get historical first. Let's start with France versus Argentina. France is loaded at every position. I don't think the same thing about Argentina. How do you see this?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, let's go back to that changing of the guard. You don't want to go there.
That's I want to get there next. Right. I want to get there next. I did a poor job of starting this.
you're doing fine. The tactical, the matchups, all that stuff that we love so much when it comes to analyzing games and whatnot, really get they actually come to the forefront, because what we've seen with this French team is a couple of teams that have been able to figure out how to keep Kylian Mbappe at bay, and that's England, of course, and then what we saw with Morocco. It's a very familiar foe in Hakimi, and then, of course, Walker did a great job. And I think Southgate at England, and phenomenal job of putting together a plan that was going to force France to beat you in a different way. I mean, you know, that's really what was England's plan, and he should be commended on that. But the other reality here, if we're looking at the Argentine team, is this is a team that's trying to finish destiny here. I mean, it really is become a story about Lionel Messi, about can he get to the finish line. He's been phenomenal in this competition. It just seems like everyone wants to see this happen so we can just stop the debate who's better, Messi or Ronaldo. I'm already on Messi's side. Even with all of Ronaldo's antics, I just think everybody wants to see that happen. And the bottom line is, can this Argentina side shut down Mbappe with Molina, who has been phenomenal in this competition going forward? But guess what? You might want to stick around a little bit, not venture too far out of position, because this guy's good. So the tactics really come into play. And I think that Argentina has proven that they've played multiple systems. They've figured out different ways to go up against their opponents. I thought the Netherlands game was a terrific example of that. So it's yet to be seen how they'll tactically address the game. But it really is, for me, going from my gut, I just feel like the world wants to see Messi touch the cup, and it's all pointing in that direction. You know, with that, you have to say France and Deschamps, they've done a great job, man. They're dealing with all kinds of adversity. They had a bunch of injuries. Rabiot had this one. They had the flu.
Yeah.
They're calling it basically the flu hit the team. And FIFA's report said it's a cold. That's what it was called. But the reality is that they've done a great job of navigating through this competition, but they haven't really gone up against the likes of what Argentina is. So it's a great final. That's what everyone needs to know.
Yeah.
This is one of the all-time classic finals, with the exit of probably the greatest player to ever play the game, with the new young buck who has already won a World Cup. And that's the only reason why we're not calling Messi the greatest of all time, because he's never won this thing, and he got Mbappe, who could possibly walk away with two trophies before he's even 22 years old.
Yeah, and Eric Winalda is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. If Mbappe wins another one, that's two in a row. The last time anybody won two straight, it was Brazil in 62 and 58. That was Pele, and that's who is the comparison for Lionel Messi. So, historically speaking, where does this put Messi versus Pele if he is able to win just the one?
Wow. See, I hate these kind of ideas, man. Because, you know, and when we're going on pure talent and we're going on just as the best player of all time, I think Messi was better. I think what we get confused with sometimes is when we talk about a player of like Pelé or maybe a Wayne Gretzky, somebody that completely transcends their sport and they become the beacon of what everything the game represents. So Pelé, it was a different time. If you talk to those guys in the 50s, they'll tell you that if you headed the ball the wrong way and you caught the laces, you were going to get stitches. So obviously the ball that they played with, the shoes that they had on their feet, the technology, all of those things factor in. But where do we compare these two? I would just rather celebrate them both. If the debate is now moving from Messi and Ronaldo to Messi and Pelé, I'm fine with that. Maradona is the one that he's really chasing. And it's a guy that won a World Cup, took him to a World Cup and lost. So, and the debate has always been until Messi actually touches the trophy, he cannot surpass Maradona in the eyes of the Argentine people.
Right.
But I think we're there. And if he loses this game, man, we're going to keep talking about this for decades. So I hope he wins.
It gives you stuff to talk about, you and Tony Meola on Counterattack on SiriusXM. Eric Winalda is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, I want to move to the U.S. men's national team and the drama between Greg Berhalter and Gio Reyna. And Berhalter was speaking at a moral leadership conference, which to me is ironic here that we're talking about moral leadership. And he basically called out Reyna. He didn't use his name, but for those people who have followed the story and all the reporting around it, he was talking about Gio Reyna nearly being sent home from the World Cup for not behaving properly in practice and whatnot. My bigger problem was that he told Reyna before the World Cup that he was going to play a very limited role. I don't know why you would do that. What are your thoughts on Berhalter v. Reyna and how this whole thing played out?
Well, unfortunately, I inserted myself into this this mess very early on. When I was hearing reports about what had happened, I had heard that he was very disappointed, devastated, in his words, that he was not going to participate. So, I mean, I'm with you. I don't understand the logic between or around telling a player upon arrival, sit him down before we've even kicked the ball and saying you're not going to play, and then expecting a 19-year-old to handle that perfectly. That's the and to be disappointed and to show up at practice. I mean, I'm just saying that it doesn't question his professionalism. If you've just worked your whole life for this moment, you're going to play in a World Cup, and you've had some injuries, and we all know the history, and you finally worked your way back into a spot where you can really contribute to a national team. And the first thing you do as a coach is you tell him, "Hey, by the way, you're not going to play, but I want you to have a good attitude." That doesn't work, and it is ironic that it wasn't a leadership symposium, because I thought that was poor leadership. I think what is really unfortunate is that we didn't get to see Gio play in this World Cup. It could have clearly been handled better. I think everyone is willing to move past all that what has happened, but we certainly should accept it. This is a scenario that they got this completely wrong. I unfortunately, when I said, my inclusion on all of this was very early on in the competition. When I said, unfortunately, the manager has been untruthful with the media, saying that he's still hurt, and the player has refuted that, and that's caused a rift. Man, I'll tell you, Adam, it's almost like the people are challenged with the English language. They need to understand there's a very big difference between pointing it out when someone is untruthful and calling somebody a liar.
Mm-hmm.
If it's factual that this is actually what was said and it is not true, that is not taking a shot at somebody. That's just pointing it out. So, I mean, a lot of people were angry with me for especially those two guys over at that other wide leader that think that I did this for reasons of personal gain. I gain nothing from this. My heart is bleeding for Gio and the reasons why he didn't play, which I don't agree with. But I certainly didn't want to be included in this story. I never did, but I unfortunately was one of the questions that our national team manager had to answer prior to the Iran game. And if I apologize for anything, Adam, that's sad. Coach had to answer that question, because this entire situation is unfortunate, and it did have a massive effect on our team.
And this team needs goals. Gio Reyna, while he maybe not be a big goal scorer, he is a creative offensive player. You scored 34, and we'll close on this. At the time of your retirement from U.S. soccer, you were the all-time leading goal scorer. Landon Donovan has since become that. Christian Pulisic has 22. Where do the goals come from 4 years from now, when the U.S., or 2 years from now, if they do host Copa America, which is very possibly going to be a big deal. Where do the goals come from in this system?
Right. Well, look, hopefully there's a change of the guard. I think that there'll be someone else managing this team. I think that it's gone so far that we need some new life there. But the talent is there.
Yeah.
And I think the major criticism that we've had, which is still a repeat of history here. I mean, you forgot Clint Dempsey in there.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. In my opinion, he's pound for pound the best soccer player that we've ever had. And, you know, and I've had conversations with him about this. And, you know, he's a guy that played in the midfield more than he played up front. And I'm in the same boat. And so you look at our stats and you say, all right, well, how many goals did you score from the midfield? I scored 0 out of 50-some-odd games from the midfield. I scored all my goals as a forward.
Mm-hmm.
What we keep having here is coaches who overthink this thing, and they don't put the players in offensive positions because they get too pragmatic and they think they've got to play defense first. Where are the goals going to come from? Whenever we have a manager who takes off the shackles and lets these guys run. We have the ability to score a lot of goals, but we spend so much time figuring out a way that we cannot lose the game that we've forgotten how to win. So I think when we get past that and we stop calling ourselves underdogs and we address the games for what they are, I've been through this. I mean, we play against teams that we can have our opinions of them, but you know, like the Netherlands, for example, that was a game that we could have won.
Sure.
That is certainly a team that we could have beaten, but we chose to play inappropriately. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not going to put names on that, but I was very disappointed with that starting lineup. And we essentially played with a guy that was supposed to score goals that is a converted 10 that turned into a 9. And then somebody decided to call him a 9.5, but 9.5 ain't enough. So it's unfortunate that we bowed out the way we did, but I hope we can fix it in the next 4 years. And by the way, you mentioned the Copa America. Let's win the Olympics.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
Why don't we do that? We have enough young talent to really dedicate and put our energy and our resources into winning the gold medal. This team could do that. We're so caught up in the Copa America and saying that we need that. No, what we need to be it also is to be in a major tournament against multiple countries that gives you the feel of the World Cup. It's not the World Cup, but it's going to feel like the World Cup. And you win that trophy, you've built a culture of winning within a major tournament. And that's what we need right now. And if we can get that culture, we get that positive feeling, all these Americans that don't know the difference between the Olympics and the World Cup anyway, they'll probably be more excited about us getting a gold medal than touching the World Cup. So I think that's a big part of it. We need to figure out how we change the perception of reality before we worry about realities.
Eric Winalda, I appreciate your time. Sirius XM, Counterattack with Tony Meola. Thank you very much. For those people who want to listen, it's coming up in a little bit. I appreciate everything, and we'll talk again soon.
I hope so, man. Thanks.
Take care.